आचा
साइठाम लोक गुरुना विश्वाक्षेनेन विश्वजित अनुशासिता आदेशम् शिरसा जगृहे हरे.
The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, in this way Maharaj Prithu, the conqueror of the entire world, accepted the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on his head. Purport by his divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One should accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by bowing down at the lotus feet of the Lord. This means that anything spoken by the Personality of Godhead should be taken as it is, with great care and attention, and with great respect. It is not our business to amend the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or make additions or alterations, as it has become a custom for many so-called scholars and swamis who comment on the words of the Bhagavad Gita. Hear the practical example of how to accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is shown by Prithu Maharaj. This is the way to receive knowledge through the parampara system. We are reading this morning from Canto 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 20, entitled Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena, Text Number 17. Maharaj Prithu pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord Himself told Prithu Maharaj why He was so pleased with Him. That in all circumstances, He remained faithful to His service to the Lord. All of our spiritual progress is dependent on how we can please the Lord. The Lord took note that Prithu Maharaj always remained pure and performed his duty of living for the welfare of others in all circumstances. As the king, it was his duty to take care of his citizens by protecting them on all levels, and most of all, by showing them the path of pure dharma. This is protection of the soul. Prithu Maharaj performed yajñas for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. He did it for the welfare of his citizens. When you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. This principle can be applied on every level of life, Some worship demigods. But Krishna tells us in Gita that all demigods are getting their powers from Him. They are like the leaves and flowers on the tree. If Krishna is satisfied, all demigods are properly worshipped. Similarly, in our relation with our family, ourselves, or human society, or the society of all living beings, real nourishment is pleasing Krishna. Because when we please Krishna, Krishna bestows blessings upon all. That is actually the duty of the king. To satisfy God in such a way that He will bestow His blessings upon everyone in the kingdom. And that is the only hope of salvation. And the best way of pleasing the Lord is being an example. Teaching by one's words, by one's actions in such a way that one never has to take birth again in this material world. Prithu Maharaj was so magnanimous. He was so compassionate. He was so faithful to his service to the Lord in all circumstances. Srila Prabhupada often told us that our spiritual advancement is based on our sincerity. The test of sincerity is whatever happens, we remain faithful in our dedication and commitment. This material world is such an uncertain place. In regard to Raghunath Das Goswami, it describes that his regulative principles were like the lines embedded within stone. Nothing could change it. We should not feel that I can do what Krishna, Guru, and Vaishnavas want when the circumstances are favorable. We should be committed under all circumstances. This is the common theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is trying to teach us, page after page, story after story, where devotees are put in difficult situations and they remain faithful. They remain committed. Ambarish Maharaj, this Durvasa Muni, tried to kill him. He blasphemed him, horribly blasphemed him. He insulted him with such sharp words. And can you imagine sharp words coming from Durvasa Muni's mouth? And then he tried to kill him physically. But Ambarish Maharaj was not anger. He felt no enmity. He did not try to retaliate even. He simply stood there with folded hands, ready to die if it was Krishna's desire, with grateful heart. Ready to live if it was Krishna's desire, with grateful heart. And eager to forgive Durvasa Muni and pray for his salvation, although he was appearing as his greatest enemy. He was a victim of circumstances, but he remained faithful to the principles of compassion and faith in God's mercy. Prahlad Maharaj, he could have easily told Hiranyakashipu that actually you're right. But he didn't. He was chanting the holy names. He was worshiping the Lord, although he was all alone. The most unfavorable possible circumstances by material perceptions. And he never complained. We do not find Prahlad Maharaj complaining to Lord Narsingadev, "Why did you do that to me? You're the supreme controller. You didn't have to do that to me." He was humble. He was grateful. He was gracious. He remained committed to the order of his spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni, whether it meant living or dying, whether it meant comfort or utter torture. This is the consistent theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. How devotees, in circumstances that are favorable or unfavorable, remain equal. Equanimity. Equanimity doesn't mean your mind is necessarily agitated. It means your dedication, your commitment remains firm despite all circumstances. Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 22 marketplaces. He was tempted by Maya herself, a beautiful prostitute. But he remained faithful. And therefore we glorify him. Therefore we take inspiration from him. And our own beloved Srila Prabhupada, throughout his career as the Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and previous as well, sometimes the circumstances were so favorable and sometimes they were impossible. Whether he was on the Jaladuta having heart attacks and seasickness at the age of 70, whether he was poverty in the Bowery, whether Mrs. N or Mrs. Nair here in Bombay and Mr. Nair were trying to cheat him, treat Krishna. He never gave up. The order of his spiritual master was his life and soul. If you put gold in fire, it becomes brighter, it becomes shinier, it becomes more purified. Purnachandra Prabhu ki jai. Let us welcome His Grace Purnachandra Prabhu to our temple. We're very happy that you have come, Prabhu. Thank you. So this is the message. Krishna tells Prithu Maharaj that he's willing to give him any benediction. Why? I always remain equipoised in the heart of one who is also equipoised in all circumstances. That is the previous line of the previous verse. When unfavorable circumstances come upon us, one who is not so sincere sees it as an impediment, an excuse to search within one's heart for alternatives. But one who is sincere sees obstacles, difficulties, reversals as an opportunity. great opportunity to become dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by remaining faithful. Faithful in our regulative principles, faithful in our vows, and faithful in the execution of our service. That is what Krishna consciousness means. Exams are glorious times for spiritual progress. It is said in English that one should not be a fair-weather devotee. That means we should not be faithful and nice as in our service when the weather is good. Even if there's earthquakes, tornadoes, deluge storms, burning hot, tamstatikshasvabharata, we tolerate them and carry on with our service. Gopis do not mind going to hell for eternity to make Krishna happy. That is the standard. That is not the goal, that is the process of achieving the goal. Krishna never tests us beyond our capacity to pass that test if we are sincere, if we take shelter of the Lord. Little Prahlad, Ambarish, Thakur Haridas, examples that were given, they were not trying to overcome these difficulties by their own powers. They were wholeheartedly taking shelter of the Lord in those circumstances. And therefore the Lord gave the ultimate benedictions to them. And the greatest benediction, actually, because they didn't want anything for themselves, they simply lived for others, is that the example of their unalloyed service in all circumstances has been glorified for all time to come. These great personalities are given, although certainly they went back home, back to Godhead, but simultaneously they're eternally serving the Lord, the Vaishnavas, and the conditioned souls in this world in a most excellent way by their example. How many are inspired by Prahlad or Thakur Haridas? They're not here with us. But the Lord, knowing that their desire, the desire to show compassion to the conditioned souls was so deep and so great, what a benediction He gave them. That for all time to come, not only within this universal creation, but their example is glorified universal creation after universal creation in the material world to give hope and strength and faith and pure devotion to the conditioned souls. That is what they wanted to live for. And they are living eternally, both in the spiritual world and in the material world, offering the highest services to the Lord. Why? Because in all circumstances, they remain faithful to their spiritual masters and to Krishna. So if we actually want to make spiritual progress, it is in our hands. Do we complain? Do we give up? Or do we accept it as an opportunity for purification and for service? Sometimes someone criticizes us, and we think, oh, how unjust, how terrible. But has anyone ever criticized you with the same potency and hatred as Hiranyakashipu criticized Prahlad? Or Durvas Muni criticized Ambarish? Haribo. But they didn't complain. They didn't even counterattack with enmity. They remained faithful. to the qualities of a Vaishnava. So yes, when obstacles come, when great storms appear on the horizon, we should be actually, obviously if we're not very pure, it creates fear and anguish in the heart. But with our intelligence, we must adjust and redirect the heart according to the eyes of the scriptures, that this is a glorious opportunity. Otherwise, it would not be happening. If Srila Prabhupada didn't go through so many reversals, so many difficult circumstances, none of us can even fathom the challenges Prabhupada had when he was preaching Krishna consciousness. We read his biographies, but that's just a little fraction of the day-to-day challenges and anxieties of the world that were thrust upon him. But his enthusiasm, his dedication could not be diminished. It simply would intensify under those circumstances. Because he's Acharya. That means he's teaching by his example. Because we need to learn these examples. Krishna put him through those circumstances for us to learn what is pure devotional service, what we must strive to live by, and to glorify his name for all time to come, for our benefit. The great souls, they don't care to be glorified. But for our benefit, for the benefit of the people of this world, they are glorified eternally. Because that is their desire to serve. So, the Lord has just spoken to Prithu Maharaj. I am so very pleased with you. I offer you all benedictions. And the Lord also gave Prithu Maharaj very, very, very essential instructions for a Vaishnava and for a king. In today's verse, we read, Maitreya Rishi describes to Vidura how Prithu Maharaj, who he explains is the conqueror of the entire world, accepted the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on his head. This is very beautiful, the way it is explained. First, he explains Prithu Maharaj as the conqueror of the entire world. And then how he bows his head at the feet of the Lord. Whoever we may be, this is our constitutional position. Srila Prabhupada explains in purport how one must accept the instructions of the Supreme Lord by bowing down at his lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada, brilliant, genius, purport. How he's explaining what this really means, to bow your head down before the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada explains, it means we should accept the words of the Lord as he speaks them. Without interpretation, without alterations, additions, or subtractions. This is actually humility. The tendency in this world is if a person has some opulence, there's a great need of the false ego to somehow or other demonstrate those opulences to others, to show our uniqueness. We may say, I am the servant of the servant of the servant, but then when we want prestige, when we want glory, we are actually contradicting the very concept of servant of the servant of the servant. Our acharyas explained the meaning of Muni. Muni is one who presents a philosophy that defeats other philosophies and is unique in and of itself. A real Muni must come up with his own original composition. Yes? And in the scholarly world today, if you want to get PhD, you have to do something very unique. Something that really hasn't been done before. Otherwise, it's not really a contribution to the academic scholarly world. Because this material civilization and the modern academic system is based on false ego. Of course, we can use it in Krishna service. But Srila Prabhupada, he explained what his only qualification was. He said, my only qualification is I'm simply repeating the words of my spiritual master without alterations. As it is. So many translations of Gita. And everyone wants some unique position where they will become historical by giving some slant or some perception or some interpretation which makes them stand out from among men. But Prabhupada didn't have even the slightest trace of this disease. My only qualification is simply repeating what I have heard from my Guru Maharaj. He would love to tell us how my Guru Maharaj defeated me. This is actually the principle of parampara. In essence, Prabhupada explains, parampara means being the humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. That is what parampara in essence is about. We're not the master, we're the servant of the servant. Wanting to glorify the great souls by repeating their words, by living by their teachings. And when we do this, then the power of the mercy of Krishna manifests in us. We see powerful mystic yogis. They can have some amount of power. But it's a little bit of power that they're temporarily borrowing from Krishna. But the humble Vaishnava, the complete mercy of the Lord can flow through them to the degree they're humbly surrendered without expectations of adoration, distinction, or any of the fringe benefits of being great. Sometimes Krishna puts his devotee in a great position. By Krishna's arrangement, the devotee is not trying to attain a great position. He's just trying to serve, and Krishna may put him in a great position because it will facilitate his service. To such a devotee, Krishna is manifesting. Guru Parampara means connecting to Krishna through his humble, obedient, dedicated, prideless servants, who his mercy is just pouring from their hearts due to their transparent desires to please him and to serve him. This is a great obstacle, because in this world we are so much conditioned to want to be enjoyer, to want to be proprietor, to want to be something in someone very special. But the pure Vaishnavas, they are humble. They are simple. And that simplicity is the means by which Krishna reveals the truth to them. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. If you want to know the truth, you must approach Guru. And how do you approach Guru? That is all important. Many people are approaching Guru, but how to approach Guru? By inquiring submissively. First of all, you surrender yourself. Then you inquire submissively. And then you render service. Rendering service doesn't mean doing what I like to do, the way I like to do it, when I like to do it, how I like to do it. Rendering service means surrendering to the will of a superior. Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paichakeva. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has said, no one can understand, actually, understand meaning realized. Theoretical understanding we may have to some extent, but actual understanding is realization of the heart. No one can actually understand Krishna or the philosophy of Krishna consciousness through realization unless they become humble servant of Vaishnavas. There's no other way. It is not by academic scholarship. It is not by austerities. It is not by our own powers or qualities. It's by pleasing Krishna. And Krishna is pleased when we serve his devotees. When we bow our heads before the Lord, knowing that the Lord is receiving our worship through Guru, Parampara, and Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada wrote his Bhagavad Gita as it is. So many Bhagavad Gitas have been there. It's not at all a unique thing to make a translation and purport of Bhagavad Gita. Practically every one of us from the Western world, so many Bhagavad Gitas we saw. I personally read, I don't even remember how many before I came across Srila Prabhupada. It's very popular. But yet, despite reading all those, neither myself nor all the tens and millions of people reading Bhagavad Gita in the English language in the Western world or in the German language or other such languages, or for that matter, hardly a single person even in India in the Sanskrit or Hindi or Marathi language came to even the slightest conception of an understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we should surrender to Him as a person. That's all Gita talks about. It is the conclusion of every philosophical point that Krishna makes in the Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhava matya sarvam prabhartite iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanbhata. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything is emanating from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Machchitamadgata pranabodhyanta parasparam. Those devotees who are really surrendered unto me, they are always enlivening one another by discussing my glories. Surrender to me. How? Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage to me. It is what Gita is talking about. But yet one person is saying, my type of meditation, this is what Gita is talking about. Everyone was advertising and glorifying their own conceptions, which means their own egos, through Gita. Prabhupada told once, he would become very angry on this, transcendental anger. In one lecture, he raised his voice. He said, if you want to give your own philosophy, write your own book, but do not use Krishna's name. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's words. Do not poke your nose in someone else's business. It can can only be understood by devotees. Krishna tells us that himself. You can, Arjuna, because you are my friend and devotee, you can understand. Otherwise, it is impossible. So amongst hundreds and hundreds of Gitas, thousands of Gitas, Bhagavad Gita as it is has transformed millions and millions of people's hearts and given them the proper understanding, both in India and abroad. Most of our assembly of devotees today are from Indian origin. Of people of India, raise your hands. How many of you have heard of Bhagavad Gita before you came to Hare Krishna Society? How many have never heard of Bhagavad Gita? 100%. How many have heard Bhagavad Gita or read something from Bhagavad Gita? How many before reading Prabhupada or meeting Prabhupada's devotees understood Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we should surrender to Him unconditionally? You knew these things. But, did you know these things, Gauranga? He's IIT graduate. South Indian Brahmin. Studied Gita. Never had a clue of what Gita means. Until Bhagavad Gita as it is. Why? Because the power of Krishna flowing through parampara is manifesting in the words of Srila Prabhupada. Because of his humble, simple surrender. This is the law of parampara. Humble, simple surrender. When Krishna was in the ashram of Sandipani Muni, he was listening to his Guru Maharaj. He was rendering humble services, massaging his feet, collecting wood. Yes, the Lord wants to show the world this is the way you approach Guru if you want to actually benefit. Ramchandra with Vishwamitra Muni was massaging his feet, collecting wood, doing little chores, and sitting on the banks of the Ganga and other parts of the forest, just asking questions and hearing submissively. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is how he approached his Guru Maharaj, Ishwarapuri. He would cook for him, he would serve him. Menial service. Inquiring submissively from him. Bowing his head for him, taking shelter of him. That is how Mahaprabhu approached Ishwarapuri. And until he got the order to preach from him, he never even preached. And Srila Prabhupada, throughout his whole mission, he was always feeling himself and identifying himself before others as the obedient servant of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That is our parampara. Jiva Goswami, greatest scholar of Varanasi, came to Vrindavan as a young man. He was already world famous. But when he came to Rupa Goswami, his guru, he would collect leaves, make them into palm for writing, palm leaves. He would massage his feet, he would clean his vessels, prideless service, and would sit attentively and listen. The essence of parampara is humility and service. In the way we hear. Because ultimately, understanding comes by mercy. not by intellectual prowess. Respecting and humbling oneself before the previous acharyas and the Vaishnavas. That is the consistent quality of every great soul in history of Vaishnavism, without exception. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach this example to the world through one of the greatest scholars on earth and one of the greatest Vaishnavas on earth. He wanted to teach this lesson. Balabhabhat, such a Brahmin he was. Such a devotee he was. When Mahaprabhu met him at Prayag, Mahaprabhu gave him so much favor and affection. So naturally, he wanted to associate with the Lord again. So he came to Jagannath Puri. When Balabhabhat came to Puri, he met Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And first thing he did is he started praising the Lord. Now usually if somebody praises you, you reciprocate by praising them. Let us analyze how Lord Chaitanya responded to this situation. He was glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That by your power, you have made the whole world accept the holy Krishna, the holy names of Krishna. You are inundating the world with the names of Krishna. Therefore, I can understand that you are specifically empowered by the Lord. Unless one is empowered by Krishna, one cannot spread the holy names. Because ultimately, only Krishna has the power to deliver someone. Only Krishna has the power to really induce someone to take his name sincerely. And because you are doing that, therefore you are directly empowered by Krishna. He was glorifying him so nicely. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded, "Actually, I am a Mayavadi sannyasi. I do not know anything about Krishna. However, whatever I have learned is from these devotees." And then he began to explain what he learned from his devotees. He said, "Greatest of Vaishnavas is Sri Advaitacharya. He's always inundated with love of Krishna. He knows the conclusions of all the scriptures. From him I have understood that Krishna consciousness is the supreme goal of life." And Nityananda Prabhu, he is an ocean of love of God. He's always intoxicated with love of God. And whoever associates with him becomes influenced by pure love of God. Ramananda Rai said, first he said Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the supreme master of the six philosophical theses. And he has convinced me by his philosophical persuasion that the essence and ultimate goal of all philosophy is surrendering to Krishna, loving Krishna. And Ramananda Rai has taught me the mellows of ecstatic love of Krishna. He has taught me what is pure devotional service, free from Aishwarya or recognition of the Lord's opulences. How Krishna's devotee, sometimes he's riding on Krishna's shoulders like Sri Dama, or sometimes binding him with rope like Yashoda. How Mother Yashoda, when she looked in Krishna's mouth and saw the entire universe, she was bewildered. Why? because she loved Krishna as her own child, as a mother. Ramananda Rai taught me the supreme glory of the gopis' love. They surrendered everything, and Krishna became conquered by his love. He had no way to repay them. And they had no conception that he is the supreme God. They simply loved him as a lover. This I have learned from Ramananda Rai. And Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami taught me what is the love of Vrindavan in the mood of conjugal affection. Through his beautiful singing, through his life and through his words, I have learned the crest jewel, the Purushartha Shiromani, the ultimate crest jewel of all realizations. Whatever I understand about the chanting of the holy names, I have learned from Haridas Thakur. Relentlessly he will chant 300,000 names of Krishna every single day in all circumstances. It is by his mercy that I have gained an attachment for the names of Krishna. Then he explained what he learned from Gadadhar Pandit, Jagadananda Pandit, Acharya Ratna, Acharya Nidhi, Murari Gupta. He just went through name after name of his devotees, glorifying, accepting them all as his gurus. Balabhavata asked, I want to meet these people. Where will I meet these people? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that it is our good fortune. Although they are living in different lands, they have all come together in Jagannath Puri for the Rath Yatra. Why did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorify all these devotees, put himself in a very insignificant, ignorant position, and give all credit to these devotees for whatever he has? That's actually how the Lord feels in the mood of a devotee. And also he sensed some tinge of pride in the heart of Balabhadra. The Lord will not tolerate even a tinge of pride in the heart of his devotee. So Balabhavata invited all of them for prasad. A large quantity of Jagannath's prasad that was being served out. And who were the servers? Swarup Damodar Goswami, Jagadananda, Damodar Pandit, Shankar Pandit, Govinda. Most elevated Vaishnavas were serving the prasad. When Balabhavata saw the incredible assembly of pure Vaishnavas, he felt like a little glowworm in front of the sun. One day, Sri Balabhavata approached Lord Chaitanya and expressed that I have written my own commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to present it to you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he was living in Puri, every single day he would go to Tota Gopinath temple and hear Gadadhar Pandit recite Bhagavatam and discuss it with him for several hours every day. And we read previously when he was traveling from Vrindavan, his first attempt, back to Navadvip in Varahanagar, on the bank of Ganga, he happened to meet one Brahman who was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. He heard one verse. That verse inundated Mahaprabhu's ecstasy so much. He started weeping and crying and told that devotee, recite it again. That devotee recited it and Mahaprabhu said, say it again, say it again. For 9 continuous hours, that devotee was reciting the same verse of Bhagavatam, and for 9 continuous hours, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just by hearing the Bhagavatam verse, was dancing in ecstasy, tears flowing from his eyes, his hair standing on end, his limbs trembling. Sometimes he would be unconscious, sometimes he would be jumping, leaping, howling in ecstasy. That was the taste Mahaprabhu had for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are speaking Bhagavatam, and of course, you are struggling to stay awake. Mahaprabhu is dancing in ecstasy, uncontrollably. So here this devotee says, I want to recite my commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya replied, I cannot understand what is Srimad Bhagavatam. Very high philosophy, this Srimad Bhagavatam. I cannot understand it. I do not want to hear your commentary. Srimad Bhagavatam is a very deep subject. I have no qualification. All I know is the chanting of the holy names. I simply spend my time chanting the holy names of Krishna. Oh, I have made a commentary on the holy names of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I only know that Krishna is Shamsundar and Yashodanandan. That's all. Krishna's complexion is dark like a tamal tree and he's the son of Yashoda. That's all I can comprehend about his holy names. Nothing else. Hare Krishna. He would not allow Balabhabhat to speak. So every day, Balabhabhat would come and present various of his ideas, sometimes even arguments. And every day, Advaitacharya, Swarup Damodar, and the other devotees would defeat him. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya wouldn't listen to what he was saying, therefore nobody would listen to what he was saying. But Gadadhar Pandit, very mild, very gentle, very compassionate person, supremely. So Balabhabhata could evaluate what Gadadhar Pandit's qualities were. So he approached Gadadhar Pandit very aggressively in a secluded place and said, nobody will hear my commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm constantly being defeated. My name is mud. You must purify me. You must clean me from this bad reputation I have by hearing my commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't ask him whether he would listen. He just forcefully started speaking. Gadadhar Pandit, he was confused. According to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was confused. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not listen to him. And none of the other devotees would listen to him. So he had no right to listen to him. But at the same time, he's a great Brahmin. He's a great Vaishnav. He's speaking it. He didn't want to make an offense to him. So this is a very difficult situation. He didn't want to offend him. At the same time, he didn't want to offend Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. But he was a victim of circumstances. So what did he do? He just internally began to pray and take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. That please, he was thinking that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the super soul in everyone's heart. He knows that I do not want to hear what this person is saying. He knows that I'm faithful to him. So the Lord will understand me and he will forgive me. However, the devotees, they will not understand this. They will certainly criticize me for this. How many of you have that experience? The devotees are always trying to protect others from the forces of illusion, from the forces of Maya, or in this instance, from the power of deviating from the will of the Lord. So every day, Balabha Bhatt would come and just start just forcefully reciting his commentary, and Gadadhar Pandit would just be sitting there silently praying to the Lord for shelter. And the devotees, out of love and affection, were showing anger toward Gadadhar Pandit. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally completely neglected Gadadhar Pandit. Meanwhile, Balabha Bhatt was coming every day to somehow or other establish his arguments as truth. And every day, his ego would just be crushed by the devotees. One day he came forward and spoke to Advaitacharya that in my commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have put aside the commentary of Sridhar Swami because his explanations are not eternal, they are according to circumstances. So Advaitacharya said to Balabha Bhatt that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here. Let us hear what he thinks of this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became extremely grave. He said, one who does not accept... Actually, I'm going to go back a little. The time before this. This is just to show how the Lord Chaitanya really wanted to purify this Vaishnava. The time before this, he came and challenged the devotees. He said, according to the religious principles, all living beings are female, and Krishna is the only male. Therefore, Krishna is the supreme husband of all living beings. And the Shastras tell that a chaste wife does not speak the name of her husband, so why are you constantly singing the names of God? So Advaitacharya said, let us hear from Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said that it is the first and foremost duty of a chaste wife to obey the instructions of her husband, and Krishna has ordered us to chant his holy names incessantly. So therefore, anyone who is faithful to Krishna will be constantly chanting the holy name. So again, he went home. He was praying, if only one time I can establish my arguments. Then he came on this day. The commentary of Sridhar Swami is external and circumstantial. Therefore, in my commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have neglected Sridhar Swami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very grave. He said, I say that one who rejects husband, which is another meaning of Swami, is a prostitute. Whatever Sridhar Swami has said is perfect. He is the foundational, original commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam. In parampara, every acharya, every devotee respects and honors all previous acharyas. Srila Prabhupada explains that we may, according to time, place, and circumstance, present the Bhagavatam, present our commentary according to the needs of the people. But they are always in full obedience and respect to the conclusions of the previous acharyas. We never alter. We never change what they speak. We may elaborate according to time and place, but we never change it. We never disrespect it. This is parampara. This is humility. We're the servants of the great souls. We don't want anything for ourselves. We want everything for the great souls who are our predecessors. We live for them. We die for them. That is parampara. Sridhar Swami, Balabhabhat, was utterly depleted of all hope that he could ever proclaim his unique scholarship. That day he went home, his ego was so devastated. He became very introspective and contemplative. He understood, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He understood this when he saw Lord Chaitanya dancing at the Rath Yatra, that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can manifest such symptoms of love. And the Lord is merciful to his devotee, and I'm his devotee. And his mercy is that he crushes his ego. Ah, just like Krishna crushed Indra's ego when he lifted Sri Giriraj Govardhan. It was his mercy. It was his compassion. I am thinking that the Lord is insulting me every day. I am thinking that the devotees are insulting me every day. I'm wondering why in Prayag the Lord was so kind and affectionate to me, and here in Puri he keeps neglecting me and smashing me and insulting me. Now I understand. I'm a fool. He's not insulting me. He's showing his supreme love for me. He's showing his mercy to me. Because this ego is an impediment. Thus, Balabhabhata became genuinely humble. Just like a doctor who is performing surgery, he may cut you open, he may take out, extract various parts of your body from within, but he's doing it for your benefit. And it hurts. Any devotee who has had a major surgery, you know, it takes months of pain to recover. Yes? But it wasn't out of cruelty, it was out of mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed this very, very expert surgical operation in the heart of Balabhabhata. And when Balabhabhata actually accepted the insults, the neglect, the apparent abuse of the Lord and his devotees as mercy, then he surrendered. For all these weeks and weeks and weeks, he was fighting against it. He was opposing the Lord's insults. He was opposing the neglect of the devotees. And what happened? He was in utter anxiety and misery. But when he accepted it as mercy and decided to surrender, then he was liberated. Liberation really means no more false ego. And the next day he came and fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had no arguments. He had no clever questions. He had no presentations of his intelligence. He came and fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, incessantly weeping tears. with a choked voice, he said, I'm a fool. I have been opposing your insults. I have not understood that you are so merciful. Like Krishna purified Indra, you are trying to purify me of my false ego. I surrender my life to you. At that point, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started showing actual favor and affection to him again. External affection. Because he was pleased with him. And when Sri Chaitanya, then Balabhavata, after begging forgiveness and surrendering, he said, I would like you to, if you actually accept me again, please let me serve prasad to you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu waited many days, and when he was consistently in this mood of humble devotion, the Lord accepted his invitation. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who did not even look upon or speak a single word to Gadadhar Pandit in weeks and weeks, he told Swarup Damodar Goswami, Govinda, and Jagadananda, bring Gadadhar Pandit. As Gadadhar was walking with them, they asked him, Lord Chaitanya was so unfair with you. He neglected you. He abused you. Why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you defend yourself? Gadadhar Pandit, with such humility, he said, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm his humble servant. He can deal with me in any way he likes. The Lord knows my attributes and he knows my faults, and I know he will be merciful to me according to his wish. It is not proper for me to speak up against him. It is not my position to question him. How will that appear? When he came before Lord Chaitanya, he fell down at Lord Chaitanya's feet and wept. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart melted. He said, Gadadhar, I tried through so many clever ways to awaken your anger, but I could not do it. Because of your simplicity, you have purchased me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu herein declares that he is purchased by the simplicity, the humility of his devotee. From that day on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became known as Gadadhar Prananath, the life and soul of Gadadhar, the property of Gadadhar Pandit. Balabhavata begged Gadadhar to instruct him in the science of devotional service in conjugal love, because previously he was initiated in the worship of Bal Gopal in Batsalya Ras. But Gadadhar Pandit said, without the sanction, without the desire and the blessings of Lord Chaitanya, I have no power to do anything. So Lord Chaitanya gave his blessings. And Balabhavata became a student of Gadadhar Pandit, a Shiksha disciple. So through this story, we understand what is parampara. What is the actual process of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, the Absolute Truth? Not by scholarship, not by any type of qualifications of this world, but it is only by the mercy of the Lord. And the mercy of the Lord comes according to our simplicity, according to our humility. which are absolute integral aspects of surrender. Real surrender ultimately means that Krishna, I am yours. And as Prabhupada explains here, we must accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on our head. That means bowing down. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Page. Is there any questions? Yes?
Maharaj, thank you for your wonderful class. You told the story of Vallabha Bhatta, and it seems like he was quite becoming obsessive about his commentary. Sometimes even we devotees also have this tendency to become obsessive about our own thoughts, thinking that our suggestions are correct, especially whenever there is any meeting or something to take decisions. Also, Maharaj, there is something called as a personality disorders, which many people in this world have, where they are obsessive about their thoughts or they think they are special. And sometimes even they come in devotional life, and because of that psychiatric disease, actually, not that they are like that. This disorder, they tend to become offensive. So how can we also help them? So these are two questions I have.
The greatest sermon is our example. We can help others to understand the truth by speaking the truth and living by the principles of truth. We should instruct them. We should give them Prabhupada's book so Prabhupada will instruct them. Ultimately, Prabhupada's instructing through his books, and he should instruct through us by being an instrument and repeating what he has spoken. A devotee's goal of life is not to be great. A devotee's goal in life is to be an instrument in the hands of the great. The instrument takes no credit. When a doctor gives a surgery, does anyone glorify the surgical instruments he used? They're thrown away after some time. But the doctor is glorified. We should want to be one of those instruments. Here in India, people are addicted to cricket. What do they call that stick? A bat? A piece of wood that they go like that? So you see all these billboards and hoardings of this some cricket master's face. But you don't see his bat. Nobody could really... Bat is an instrument. So we should want to be instruments. We want to give all glory to the persons whose power we are surrendering to. And let their power come through us and take no credit. That's what every great Vaishnava does. Krishna may give glory, people may give glory, but we don't want it for ourselves because we know it does not belong to us. We are instruments. Instruments of the compassion of great souls. And to the degree we're free of false ego, to that degree we can actually be instruments. So yes, everyone in this world is obsessed with false ego, or they would not be in this material world. Everyone has psychological disorders to various extents. So what is the cure? To give them Krishna. To give them the truth. People are very proud and convinced of their own opinions. But Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they're not proud and convinced of their opinions. They're simply repeating Krishna's opinion. Giriraj Swami Maharaj, our beloved guide and godbrother, he often tells a story where Srila Prabhupada was having a debate with one person on the principle of something Krishna said. And Prabhupada just wouldn't move from the point. And then in the end, Prabhupada said, "What can I do? Krishna said it. I have no authority to say anything else." That was Prabhupada. That is why we can have complete faith in him. Because he simply repeats what Krishna has said. Krishna's opinion. And if we're not very, very pure, how do we really know? Why should we be so convinced that our opinion is Krishna's opinion? Therefore, we should be humble. We should accept the words of the Vaishnavas. And we should try to really understand and search what does really Prabhupada want. Usually we fight over things which it really doesn't make that much difference whether it's done one way or another. But we have our obsessions. What will ultimately please Guru and Krishna and attract their empowerment is when we're humble and we cooperate to speak what we know is the truth. So we should live by that principle, speak by that principle of being instruments. And if you do that, you may be given the power to influence another person's life in a very effective way. Yes, we have an intelligence and we must use our intelligence to figure things out. That's what management is, using your intelligence to figure things out. And Srila Prabhupada wanted that we really use our intelligence to the extent we have an intelligence to try to do things properly. To be instruments. We use our intelligence to organize things as effectively as possible to be suitable instruments of the mercy that is flowing through Parampara. But it is not your intelligence and not your management that's going to make a difference in people's lives. It's to the degree you are an instrument. And everything else, all decision making, all management, everything is to facilitate that we are humble, transparent instruments of Parampara. Otherwise, you figure things out by your own brain powers, your own abilities, but if you're not humble instruments, in due course of time you can build something, but it will crumble to the ground. Arivo. So just be instrument. The best way to help another person overcome his obsessive ego is by giving up your own obsessive ego. And let Prabhupada's words and Prabhupada's will flow through your life. Would you like to add something, Maharaj?
Our devotee has said this desire to be right and lord over others by using the philosophy as a beating stick, so to say, is unfortunately something which happens very often in religious communities, and there is a long word with about 30 letters, which I cannot say because it is so long and complicated, which describes this particular disorder. Ravindra Swarup once said that I want to be right, and I want to use the philosophy. Now, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has, I want to really commend you. You said very nice that we must bring our ego out of the way and become a humble, transparent media, instruments. Because you have requested me to speak, I would like to approach it from a contemporary angle. We find this desire to be right and to be correct very, very, it's an existential desire of the human psychology. We want to be right, we want to bring ourselves on a podest where we get recognition, and unfortunately sometimes Krishna consciousness can be used. We find today in Gaudiya Vaishnava societies all over the world that unfortunately they are not always harmoniously cooperating, because one group wants to establish their superiority over another by using their gurus or this and that to really inflate their own diseased and crippled egos. I think in such a situation it's very important that we know how to act. That is a very interesting subject. I also know in preaching it's very important that when you preach you really have to know how to not use your knowledge in order to be superior to someone else. Whenever this ego comes into the way of preaching, in whatever way it does, you can be rest assured that Krishna's mercy will not flow through you, and you might even become involved in offenses, aparadas, and remove yourself further from Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and your Guru. I think what our devotee has said, that there is this need, he has described it as a disorder. This is very, very common. It is most probably, to some degree, at least I know, speaking for myself, it's there in me. I enjoy to win an argument. And show my superiority. And that's something we have to internally address and become critically aware of and uproot. Because we must understand this false ego, when it enters the society of, when it enters our spirituality, it will be the most dangerous thief who will steal all our bhakti from us. You can win an argument if you have learned how to fight with your knives and shoot with your bows of logic and so on, and verses and so on. But what you have done, you have won the argument, but you have lost against your own false ego. And you may be Mr. False Ego in the disguise of a flowing exponent of Vaishnava philosophy. This I have observed, and I'm very happy with Radhanath Maharaj. You very nicely expressed it. I cannot add to what you have expressed, that we must be transparent. But I want to urge all of you, watch this tendency within yourself and uproot it yourself. That's my only addition. Hare Krishna.
I like to hear myself talk, so I always like to say something about it. I just thought, when the person was speaking, that personality disorder is a kind of, well, neuroses or insanity. And insanity means accepting something false, living in an illusion. Like if somebody thinks that he's Napoleon Bonaparte, that's personality disorder, a psychological disorder. So that's what false ego means, to cover the reality of the reality that we're servants of Krishna. So the simple solution for that is just to continue to hear and repeat the truth. And then the insanity and illusion will just go away. That is the simple solution for such things which seem to be very sophisticated and complicated. So you have given already the solution for this person's problem. But he should maybe hear this class, hear the class again. Hare Krishna.
Keshav Kashmiri was very learned. By standard of intellectual comprehension of scripture and ability to defeat others, he was Digvijay. He was the world champion. Saraswati appeared on his tongue every time he spoke. Therefore, no one could. Saraswati is the demigoddess of learning. Who could challenge her? And he was a transparent via medium of her, in one sense. However, Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, when his students were glorifying this Keshav Kashmiri, all the scholars of Navadvip were shaking in fear when he came in his procession riding on elephants with thousands and thousands of followers chanting his glories. Can you imagine the high seat of learning in all the world, Navadvip? All the greatest scholars were trembling in fear when Digvijay Pandit was coming. And when the students were telling this whole scenario to Lord Chaitanya, Nimai smiled. He said, "You will see within a few days all of this pundit's pride will be crushed into fine powder. Because Krishna does not tolerate false pride." Ravana, Nahusha, so many persons in history we see that they were very great. They had intelligence, they had power, they had influence. But ultimately they were all destroyed. Because the Lord does not tolerate false pride. The example he gave, that a tree that has good fruits, by the weight of those good fruits, will always, at all times, be bowing his head to everyone. And a tree that does not have good fruits will stand up with his head very high. When Digvijay Pandit came before Nimai asked him a few questions, and then Nimai took away all of his intelligence. Where did it all go? First he praised him. "Speak something about Mother Ganga. You are the greatest scholar in the world." Over 100 verses of Ganga just flowed like the Ganga from his mouth. Perfect Sanskrit meter. With all alankars of poetic beauty. And the students were utterly amazed. They were gasping to hear anyone just right on the spot compose such poetry. Nimai was not impressed. He said, "Now please explain the good qualities and the bad qualities of your poetry." "There are no bad qualities in my poetry." And Nimai began to point out bad qualities. Mistakes. Technical mistakes. Very, very technical. So technical that there was no human being in all of creation who could have detected it. But Nimai detected. And he defeated him. And then Nimai asked him another question, and he was utterly blank. His mind just became void of a single thought. And nothing could come out of his mouth. He was utterly helpless and hopeless. And the students began to laugh at him. And Nimai told them to stop. He said, "All right, you must be very tired because you composed that great poem today. Go home, study your books. Tomorrow I will ask you more questions." He went home. What happened? How is it that the greatest scholars and pundits in the world, and this is just a small boy who teaches nothing but grammar, "Goddess Saraswati, have I offended you? My mind was blank. A single word could not come out of my mouth. I was humiliated. I was defeated by a child." When he slept, Saraswati appeared before him and said, "You worship me, and I was pleased with you. The real benediction I gave you was not that you would be Digvijay, conquering scholar of the world. The real benediction that I gave you was that you would come face to face with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be defeated by him. Whatever I have received from him, and whatever you have is ultimately by his mercy. So surrender to him." The next day, Digvijay came, Pandit came, alone without his followers, alone early in the morning without even shoes, and bowed down at Nimai Pandit. Success in life is greatness, scholarship, fame. Real success in life is total surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord, and in that spirit, chanting his holy name. So, what is the greatness of our intelligence? Krishna can take away our memory at any moment. He can take away our power to speak at every moment. He could take away our power to see, to hear, to breathe. We cannot breathe without the mercy of Krishna. So why should we be so proud of our abilities? Why should we be so proud of our opinions? Because there is a serious psychological disorder. That's all. As Purnachandra Prabhu has said, we have misconceived what is the truth. We are identifying with this ego. That's the source of all the problems in our life and all the problems in the world. And still we're so eager to defend that ego. We're defending the enemy that is plundering us of the real wealth of the soul. But we can't give it up. Only by keeping our heads bowed down and serving the Lord's devotees can Krishna take our desires sincerely. And He will lift us up. And that is our hope. That was one of the greatest dissatisfactions of Srila Prabhupada. When leading devotees would be fighting, all based on their incredibly materialistic expert opinions of how to spread Krishna consciousness. And they'd be fighting and conflicting and sometimes competing, not in a transcendental way, but in an egoistic way. Prabhupada would say, it taxes my brain when these devotees are fighting. If we're actually transparent, then we'll ask Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, do you really want us to fight about this? No, don't fight! But they continue fighting. That means it's not transparent. Prabhupada wanted cooperation. This way, that way, doesn't matter that much. Just be together and just try to disseminate these words. The philosophy can never be changed. But the implementation of how we present it, there may be different ways. But if we fight about it, as Satchinanda and Swami Maharaj was saying, it's usually simply on the basis of our false ego. My guru is better than yours. My temple is better than yours. This is all false ego. If you really understand the spirit of your guru, amani na manadena, you will offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Then we can actually be empowered to really invest the spirit of love of God in people's hearts. Not the spirit of sectarian ego in people's hearts. Does that answer your question? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.